The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday, July 25th. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. We'll get into some of those a little bit later on in the program, too. And we're going to be talking a lot about what I thought was kind of overblown at first, and I have to reverse course and say the more I found out about this situation with the Medford police officer, the SRO, the school resource officer, which I just wish they just call them school cops, but I guess there are more resources than just arresting people. Yeah, I get that. But there's more to this. I'm going to be talking with Michael Williams, who is a school board member of Medford 549C. He was one of the people, well, I guess he was the person that was really concerned about safety in the 549C school district. And we're going to talk with him about that, just find out what he knows. And I talked with him yesterday for a little while, and he's not going to speculate, but he's just going to know, or at least share what he talked about in his meeting with Officer Josh Doney, who was reassigned. Okay, so we have that story coming up at 7:30. Mr. X and I are going to break down after that conversation with school board member Michael Williams about how Medford 549C is all into restorative justice. And what is restorative justice? Restorative justice is the kind of stuff that, first off, let me just read the leaked social media post that got this whole thing started. Anyway, I talked with Megan yesterday, the person who Megan Turk, I think is her name. And I spoke with her a little bit and she had released this. I'm just going to read this. I asked to bring light to a situation regarding Officer Doney, the former SRO school resource officer at South Medford High School. And hopefully you'll feel the desire to like this post, pass it around. So I have an inside source that has shared the real story behind why Officer Doney was removed from South Medford High. And the district is stating that Doney left his position, but in reality, he was removed for telling the truth and voicing concerns for the safety of the students at South Medford High School and within the Medford District. Officer Doney removed from his school resource officer position because he was standing up for students. And this is according to what Doney spoke with a school board member, and that is Michael Williams, we know now, and we'll continue that conversation with him later, like I mentioned. But anyway, the thing is, Doney raising concerns about school safety, especially, some bad kids, troublesome students not being treated seriously. And it was in this particular case, it was about a school safety concern revolving around arresting a student with a firearm on them at the school and the district wanting to allow that student back to school after only a suspension. When, frankly, you should be, going into the juvenile justice system, frankly, at that point. You're not supposed to do this. This is a pretty darn big crime, really, all right? And so Officer Doney talked out of school, no pun intended. And the claim here is that Dr. Brett Champion ended up forcing him out via political pressure on Medford police. And then Medford police says, well, this isn't punishment. It's just a big mess. But there's a history of this kind of stuff happening with 549C students. A couple of years ago, there was a student who stabbed another student with a knife, and the school district refused to call it a stabbing to hide it from the parents. He was suspended for fighting. They called it fighting instead, right? And what Megan's post said, parents have no idea how bad it is. And Champion has been trying to hide weapons and drug charges that should be filed against students. But you see, I've been talking about this for years, especially with Nicholas Cruz down in Florida. Remember him, the shooter that shot the place up there? Everybody knew about him for years. But that school district, Broward County School District, was under restorative justice. So is Medford 549C. What is restorative justice? Why, I'm glad you asked. It's a new way of punishing. Well, it's punishing through not punishing. But I think we need an appropriate music bed to explain what restorative justice is, okay? Here we go. This is from the Oregon Department of Education, by the way. Restorative justice uses non-punitive interventions to heal harm done and strengthen relationships. It is defined as an innovative approach to offending and inappropriate behavior which puts repairing harm done to relationships and people over and above the need for assigning blame and dispensing punishment. A restorative approach at a school shifts the emphasis from managing behavior to focusing on building, nurturing, and repairing relationships. Restorative practices, specifically RJI, or RJ is how it is referred to, is a system-wide approach to cultural over-reliance on exclusionary discipline practices in schools. In other words, throwing the dirtbag kids out that are causing trouble. We don't want to do that, right? That's me interjecting. But back to the ODE. Using indigenous circles as a model for building upon relationships and activating the voices of all parties involved in an incident, both persons harmed and persons responsible for the harm, RJ practitioners have found restorative practices promote prevention, intervention, and restoration. The practice emphasizes. It emphasizes healing and repair over punishment, inclusion over exclusion, and accountability. RJ enables school staff, students, and families to participate in an intentional face-to-face encounter, different from punitive measures that can create emotional distance and a lack of accountability. Students are given the opportunity to reflect on behavior and work toward understanding their role in the interaction, either as the harmed party or the individual that harmed. Listening to each voice is key to the success of this circle. Because remember, this is an indigenous circle. I don't know if... In Native American circles, if someone was actually bringing weapons and trying to kill members of the tribe, do you think that they would just sit around and talk about it, or would they kick the young brave's butt? I don't know. But it's kind of like this Dances with Wolves thing. Native Americans, I'm amazed that Native Americans survived the way they're being talked about today. Indigenous circle. So here we go. Listening to each voice is key to the success of the circle. It ultimately allows everyone to be heard, honored, and respected, regardless of their role in the incident. Punitive suspension policies, in other words, expelling the dirtbag kids, often exacerbates behavior problems by further alienating students. But it gets the violent people out of the schools. Okay, but I continue. Remember, this is state policy here that Medford 549C is all over. Restorative justice helps foster an inclusive school culture. It engages students and families in a meaningful way with the school and can promote a sense of connection. Yes, connection with the people with the firearms that threatened to shoot the school up. Or the gangbangers, or whatever the case might be. You know, you have to include them, too, in the educational environment. Restorative practices in conjunction with a trauma-sensitive approach to school interactions can do much to improve the school culture and create the environment necessary for successful learning. So it is, bottom line, restorative justice is non-punishment punishment, apparently. You know, in other words, we're going to take the violent or ill-behaving student and talk him. I would imagine most of them are him because it's men, it's testosterone, right? So you talk the dirtbag to death in an indigenous circle along with the victims. And do you understand why pulling the gun or the knife and stabbing someone? Do you understand why that is such a bad thing to do? And that's the way the Medford 549C school district rolls. And apparently, Officer Josh Doney didn't think that was such a good idea and was raising issues that, you know, you need to take violent students more seriously, and maybe putting them in an indigenous circle is not the way to go. I'm speculating there because I haven't talked with Officer Doney, and I imagine he's probably been ordered by MPD, you shut your mouth. Nice pension you got there. You wouldn't want anything to happen to it. Get in line. And this is the Bill Meyer Show, 770-5633. We can get it in an indigenous circle and talk radio, and we can discuss all of this, and I can understand your feelings, and we can talk about your feelings, and we'll bring you in. It's inclusion, not exclusion.
Are you buying or selling a house this year? Here's a tip from Grants Pass Water Lab. If you buy or sell a property with a well, Oregon requires tests for bacteria, arsenic, and nitrate. Don't let this slow you down. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for the full reporting that meets all the state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for more than 40 years.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art SnapLock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
622. All right, so I read what the definition of restorative justice is on the Oregon Department of Education. It was quite fascinating, wasn't it? And I had a person who just called me who said he works within the system, and so he can't, well, not the school system, but within a different system. And he says this is the same kind of stuff that they do with all the kids that are in Oregon Youth Authority, all the people that are in the lockups and, you know, juvenile detention, if you want to call it that. And what ends up happening is essentially restorative justice is you apologize and say you're sorry enough and, well, you've been punished enough. That's kind of it at the simple side of it. And this appears to be what has been all over Medford 549C. Now, remember, I talked to the parents defending education guests back middle of May, a few months ago, that was talking about Medford 549C being the only school here in Southern Oregon that is fully on board and signed on to this. And by the way, it is a policy consensus, leftists, you know, the same policy consensus, Oregon Solutions, Oregon State University-led kind of program. These consensus processes, and of course, parents have never been informed that this stuff was going on. I don't think anybody ever came up to you and said, oh, by the way, we're not going to punish children. We're going to talk them to death in an indigenous circle and have them apologize profusely. And it doesn't matter how many times they say they're sorry. Well, if they say they're sorry enough, then I'm sure the meetings facilitators, the mental health experts, have said, oh, okay, well, this person's not going to cause any trouble any longer. Well, it appears that Officer Josh Doney said that's not really working out. And when you have people with firearms and knives and violent gangbangers and stuff, you need to treat them like just common criminals because at that point they are. You know, we're not talking about someone who is, you know, sticking bubblegum under a school desk and violating school policy or something. It's a little more serious than that. And some concerns have been raised about this. Michael Williams will come on. And he's been all over the news the last day, and people have been talking to him about it, and we'll have to see. And I even asked him, I said, are you aware of the restorative justice programs that the school district has signed on to? And this was back in about 2005, 2004. This has been going on a good 16, 17 years. 16, 17 years we've been under these policies. Well, Michael wasn't on the school board then. I don't think anybody that's on the school board right now was involved with that there, but it is official school policy. And as bizarre as it sounds, as this may sound for me to mention this, there's a strong possibility that Brett Champion, who's being made out to be the bad guy in this one, because supposedly the pressure is getting, you know, Josh Doney off of this, you know, off the school resource officer's job, there's a pretty strong possibility that he's just following the school district policy. You're supposed to shut up. You're not supposed to be talking about these sort of things. You know, people are supposed to go in their little indigenous circles as the Oregon Department of Education, discusses this, how you're supposed to do it. And that's just all there is to it. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but crazy things are normalized in the state of Oregon, as you well know. And Mr. X and I, after we talk with Michael Williams, are going to talk about what parents and what, and especially what taxpayers, because I don't have any kids in the Medford 549C school district. Maybe you do or don't. I don't know. Maybe you're in Grants Pass. But this restorative justice has creeped into a lot of the system in Oregon proper, even if your board's not really big into it. So I'd be curious what's happening in Josephine County districts, too. I really would. Well, this is something which needs rooted out. And there needs to be immense pressure brought onto boards to detach and stop these restorative justice practices, because they seem to be fostering, you know, future cruises. The cruise shooter from down in Broward County, it was the same kind of situation. And the other aspect of this, the other aspect that is not being talked about in most of the other news reporting, is that schools don't want their crime statistics to look bad. It's like what they've done with a lot of Oregon statistics. Well, you know, crime's really down a lot. Well, you know, when you don't send the cops out to check the crime, your crime statistics don't look so bad, right? People stop calling the cops. You know, it's like, well, it's the same kind of thing in the schools. Nobody wants to go out there and have statistics that you are suspending a lot of the students. You're suspending a lot of the students because, obviously, you're suspending students that need to be going into an indigenous circle instead and have them apologize profusely and be talked to death. When even in the Native American tribes, if you're going to talk about these indigenous people circles, they probably would have banished them in some instances, which, of course, is what a suspension would do. You are banished from the school system, but that causes a negative outcome. Not for the school or not for the other students that were victimized by this guy. It just causes a problem for the perp, but I digress. So, not so crazy. Gene's holding on here. Gene, I don't know if you have a comment on that, but you're a perfect person to come in after a little comment about that, all the craziness going on in our government school system.
Yeah,
what's up?
I am.
What's up?
Well, congratulations. You have received me, and I'm here for your use.
I'm glad to hear that.
I got thinking about worded lies first start. Everything has a start, a beginning, and an end. And I got thinking about the Library of Alexandria, where all human knowledge was stored, how it burnt down. But did all the scrolls get burnt down with it? And since that time, evidently somebody has learned what the idea of lies are and how to use them to withhold knowledge from the people while they have all of it.
Were lies really invented, or is it just a natural part of the human condition?
I think one time this was kind of like a paradise, and you cannot have lies in paradise. And yes, I do believe they were started by evil people or evil something.
Okay, well, you know, you hide an uncomfortable truth. I don't know. I think most people, we all engage in lies at one point or another. You have to agree with that. You know, it's like, does this dress make my butt look big or something like that? Every guy knows you. there are politic ways. Well, the other thing is that some people lie because you want to stay alive, like a guy who is asked, well, does this make my butt look big? Okay. Right.
Yeah, well, that's true. But some lies don't need to necessarily be the one that really destroy humanity. I think that's going too far.
Oh, well, yeah, destroying humanity for a lie. Excellent point. Thank you, Gene. Not so crazy, Gene. Let me go to the next line here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Scott Shumway. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine, Scott. What's on your mind today, huh?
Good. I was just going to answer your question. You actually nailed it when you said, what do they want? We had that discussion a few months back.
Right, Scott. In fact, I have your book here. Let me dig it out here real quick. All right. Hang
Wait,
on. I didn't know you were calling. So here it is. Here it is. The invisible four-letter word. That's the book you wrote. We talked about that a few months ago, right?
Right, right. And you're trying to unlock. Well, why is it? Why are these politics? Why is the school wanting to do this? And that's the perfect question. And the answer, I think maybe one of the answers, you nailed it. They don't want to have these bad reports about, you know, these kids either failing or crime increasing?
Right.
That's a perfect question. The other question is what do they really want? Maybe they want kids to be dependent upon the liberal offerings that are out there. Maybe they want them dependent upon their system. Maybe that's what they're teaching is a bit of dependency. You just have to keep asking that question. What do they really want by this? And I think you'll get to the bottom of it. You did a great job of asking that question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your monologue there, you're like, I had to call in and say, you nailed it, Bill.
What do they want, all right? So it may have more to do, well, there's another aspect. There's probably a financial aspect to this also. Scott.
Oh, yes. That, of course.
Yeah, that when you have a really poor or misbehaving student, a criminal student that's there and kicked out, there's what? Anywhere from, in some school districts, as much as $30,000 a year connected from state funding for every student that walks through that door.
Exactly. You just nailed it. That's what they want. And that's why they've implemented those policies.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it gets some of the other students killed, though, or hurt or badly injured, or it makes them feel scared to go to school.
Oh, no, they don't care about that until just like we've seen with the Secret Service, till something bad happens and then they're stuck in a powerless position. Right. That's what happens in politics, where they don't realize that their wants lead to something really bad. And then they're left powerless because their policies completely failed, and then they get fired or. You know, they're under investigations. You can see it quite readily now with the Secret Service.
And, you know, Scott, we're going to have to talk about your book sometime again. That was a fun talk when we talked a few months back. We should do a revisit.
It was.
The invisible four-letter word, the secret to getting what you really want in life, right? That kind of thing.
Yep.
All right. Scott, good hearing
job,
from
Bill.
You.
Hey. Keep up the good work.
All right. We appreciate that. Thank you, Scott, for checking in. 632 on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Coming up next, Dr. Carol Lieberman, the terrorist therapist, but she's also a body language expert, Resident Biden. I was playing the democracy drinking game while I was watching President Biden doing his farewell speech, and yeah, I was drunk as a skunk within about 2-3 minutes. Democracy, democracy, democracy. But you know, you chug a beer. But anyway. What did his body language read? We'll talk with Dr. Carol Lieberman about that next.
Joel here with another Butler money-saving truck deal. Get $4,300 in Ford rebate, get another $1,000 in Ford trade assistance cash, plus $900 in Ford finance cash, and I'll tack on a $3,800 Butler Ford discount for a total savings of $10,000 off a 2024 Ford F-150 4x4 crew cab. Or buy a new 2024 Ford Bronco Sport for less than $27,000 when you have a qualifying competitor SUV. Also, I've got low interest rates, well, on everything. Edges, Escapes, certified pre-owned Explorers, Broncos, you name it. Butler's says yes to $10,000 off on trucks. Butler says yes to saving thousands on Ford Broncos. Butler says yes to low interest rates. And Butler says yes for more for your trade. Butler Ford and Truck Center, rated number one Ford store in Oregon by Google. Just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got the selection you desire and the guest experience you require.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer down fee with vehicle count cost of $42,884. 72 monthly payments of $15,15 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden delivered a solemn call to voters to defend the country's democracy. In an address last night, he laid out his decision to drop his bid for re-election and throw his support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. He insisted that, in his words, the defense of democracy is more important than any title. He did not directly call out former President Trump, who he has called an existential threat to democracy. Meanwhile, the former president was holding one of his rallies last night in North Carolina. He said that if she is elected, Vice President Kamala Harris will destroy the nation's health care system. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu set to make a long-awaited White House visit to meet with both President Biden and the likely Democratic nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris, at an important moment for all three politicians later today. This is SRN News.
What does it take for organizations to triumph? It takes trust. But trust is getting harder and harder to gain, which is why over 2,700 organizations display the ECFA seal. The ECFA seal gives your organization the third-party credibility that people are literally looking for. And in turn, an estimated 14 million givers support ECFA-accredited organizations. Let us help you maintain a trusted reputation as you reach the world for Christ. Visit ecfa.org/triumph to learn more.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Paul from Valerie Nursery. It's time to color up your backyard for summer barbecues, and we can help. Patio planters and select summer flowers are now 20% off. If you need more shade, we have that too. Now 20 to 36% off all shade, flowering, and conifer trees. For color and choice you won't see anywhere else and summer promotions, go to valleynursery.com. Google Map Valerie Nursery and find us closer than you think.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Hey, Touch of Gray is perfect. I was watching a big Touch of Gray, known as President Biden, up there giving his Why I Quit speech. And it just so happens that not only is Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH, America's psychiatrist, and the terrorist therapist, she's also a body language expert, too. Isn't that right, doctor? It's great to have you back on. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
All right. Now, we have to delve into your body language powers because, and I was just joking with listeners that I was doing the democracy drinking game. Every time you hear democracy in a speech from a Democrat, you chug a beer and you'd be drunk within about a minute after watching last night's speech with Biden. But I just kind of saw a glassy-eyed stare into the teleprompter last night, but something tells me that you pick up on subtleties that maybe the rest of us didn't notice. Why don't you break it down, please?
Well, sure. First, let me say that in an overall sense, he made me think of that it was a scene from the movie, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, how so?
Did you? What?
How so? Because
well, do you remember that movie? In that movie, a foreign enemy or whatever comes down and takes away real people and substitutes pod people for them.
Oh yeah.
In other words, these are people who have no emotion, and the pod people. That's the difference. They have no emotion, and in the end, this couple who's trying to run away gets found out because they make a scream when they see a cat being or a dog being run over in the street. And so that's the difference. They have real feelings.
Yeah, and I remember Donald Sutherland got taken over in the end, right? They're pointing at the people. I remember that movie now. It was a good movie. You thinking that that Biden at this point is essentially a hollowed out shell? Is that sort of where you're going with this?
Yes, exactly. And in terms of his body language, a couple of things. First of all, it seemed to me that he would make these movements to underscore the words, the sentence. And it was like I sort of envisioned near the teleprompter that they would have a sign, raise hand now, move hand, do this, do that. I mean, it was so so robotic. And so disconnect that from what he was saying. And it was very scary. I was just reading an article. Let's see, who is this? Jimmy Fallon describes Biden's address to nation as, quote, like meeting for coffee after a breakup.
What?
I think that's a really good way of describing it. How it's awkward when when you meet for coffee after a breakup, you're sort of embarrassed in a way that you're breaking up. And I mean, it was, the whole thing was just, and then of course there are things on social media saying, that that maybe it was like AI or that his watch had a different time than 8 o'clock. I mean, it seemed really put together, like it wasn't real.
So much of the news and what we've been presented lately does have that feeling, almost as if directed history and choreographed, and that's a bit of a challenge for us to discern the real truth out of it. But what I was kind of wondering about was when he would talk about the need to pass the torch to a new generation, and I'm wondering if you could discern anything in his body language that he truly believed that. And the reason I wonder that is that it was just 2 weeks ago. It's like, hey, listen, pal. You know, I'm in this to win it, and I'm going on and going on. And now it's like all of a sudden he has a revelation that he has to pass the torch, that kind of thing. It just doesn't make sense.
Yes. I mean, it was so forced. It really, you know, it's funny. I was using the body snatches as a metaphor.
Yeah.
But for him being emotionless, but it's also a metaphor for people taking over for him, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they have turned him into this character. And it's very scary to think that he's going to be in charge of America until January. I don't know. You know, just looking at how he was last night, it's hard to believe that he is going to be able to make it till January. Because, I mean, you know, unless every time we see him now, he's going to have to be propped up, put in this phony kind of situation. Now, you know, I have been talking about his being on medication mm-hmm. to make him seem more animated and so on, like for the State of the Union. You know, that seemed like it was Adderall, you know, an amphetamine to make him be more alive.
But I would imagine that also has side effects of you. Don't you have a crash after that too? When you get juiced up for something like this?
Well, you can. I mean, depending upon how long you take it and how much mm-hmm. you take and all of that, yes. You know, he has been different every time. There was the State of the Union, then there was the debate, and then there was last night. So it seems like they're experimenting with different medications and different doses of these medications, trying to make a human out of him. And it wasn't working. Last night, his face was frozen. He did have a glassy stare. You were saying something about his eyes. There was no connection to the words that he was saying, either with, you know, with his emotion, any kind of sense of emotion, or his body. He was slurring.
Mm-hmm.
Passing the torch. I mean, no, he doesn't want to pass the torch to a new generation. It was like, you know. It was like someone was putting pins in his teeth, making him say that.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, a little. There was a hidden shock collar someplace, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Tell us how you want to pass the torch.
You know, Dr. Lieberman, what really bothers me most about this is, I mean, we can laugh and talk about, oh, our infirm president. And it's actually a very sad situation, you know, because we all decline over time if we live long enough to get there. I mean, that's just a natural part. We age, we decline, we die, and we finally pass away. And so you don't want to make light of that. But on the other hand, you can't make light of the fact that that guy still has the nuclear codes, right? I mean, and that's really what you have to look at. And the same day he's giving this speech, we have the U.S. military intercepting China and Russia fighter jets near Alaska right before this address, and you can't help but think that there's a little bit of a probing there, saying, okay, how big of boys are you over there in America right now? Are you a little soft around the edge?
Yes.
You have to wonder.
Yes, yes. And, you know, he was saying something about how during his administration, America wasn't in any wars, you know, that, and then at the end, he said, God bless our troops. Like, hello? What troops? If we're not in any wars.
Yeah, it's a sad turn of affairs.
It is very sad. Actually, another interesting part was seeing his family lined up against the wall. Did you see any pictures of that?
No, I did not see that part. I didn't.
My
wife actually fell asleep in the middle of his address. Cause, oh, you know, she nodded off. I don't blame her, actually. She was the smart one. But I didn't see that.
It's like we don't want, you know, whether it's the laughing or falling asleep, we don't want to see this, you know. It's our way of trying to separate ourselves from how much danger we're in. I, by the way, made a complaint, a written complaint, about a week ago or so to Adult Protective Services in Washington, D.C., complaining about Jill perpetrating elder abuse on Joe.
Oh.
And I, yes, and I did that because I was getting tired of, you know, everyone saying more and more, that's, isn't that elder abuse? Isn't that? And at the early on, it wasn't so much elder abuse, but in this last few months, it's just obvious. It's yeah. really gotten worse. And so, you know, as a mandated reporter, as a psychiatrist, I felt, you know, it's my duty. Somebody's got to do it. And so I wrote a relatively long complaint and connected it to an op-ed type article, that an open letter to Biden that I had written in 2022 that was published in American Greatness, that invited him to take a cognitive test. I mean, I've been talking about his encroaching dementia since 2020 when he was in his basement. So I've been following this all along. And the reason why I was able to detect these things, besides just being a psychiatrist, is because one of the things I do is work as an expert witness. And some of my cases have to do with cognitive abilities, you know, competency. And so I you know, I quickly picked up these signs. And so I've been talking about this for ages. And you know, I mean, the problem is, and I've been actually calling for the 25th Amendment for ages, but the problem is, you know, Kamala is not going to be any better.
When you have taken a look at Kamala Harris, now that she's on the campaign trail, what would you say about her body language? I mean, she always looks like one of the most uncomfortable people inside her own skin that I've ever seen on a campaign trail.
Yes.
This side of Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon never looked comfortable in his skin back when I was a kid, too.
Yes.
It's just the way he was. But not to her level of incompetency, I would say, though. What are you thinking?
I think if she gets in as president, if she gets the nomination, for definitely, and if she gets in, we are in really big trouble, worse than Joe, because what she is having is, yes, there's a possibility that she's having some kind of neurodegenerative situation with her cackle and all that. But I'm not ready to diagnose, so to speak, that yet. I mean, I haven't met any of these people in person. I've just been watching them for years. But she has a syndrome. She has imposter syndrome.
Imposterous. I've never. What is imposter? Imposterous. O-S-T-R-U-S?
No. Imposter. Imposter syndrome.
Oh.
That is where you feel in a consistent way, you're always feeling as though you are an imposter.
Oh.
That you don't really have the qualifications or the experience to be in the position that you're in. And you know, we know that she got her start by providing sexual favors to the mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, and he put her in various positions. And you know, now it's coming out, or now I'm noticing that there were reasons why he put her in certain positions, and that way he could control her in these positions to get something accomplished that he wanted accomplished. Not something good for the country or the state, but in any case, that started it. And then there were other kinds of situations where she was put in places because of other people's, you know, reasons. And then, of course, with Joe Biden, she only became the nominee for vice president because Biden wanted someone to get him the people of color vote and the woman vote. And so it wasn't because of any kind of great talent that she had, or great experience, or great brilliance. You know, it was for these reasons.
So this uncomfortableness and awkward, this social awkwardness,
yes,
that that Vice President Kamala Harris exhibits is actually because even deep inside, she herself knows that she's a fraud in this issue.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly. That's very better put.
Yeah, that's
yes,
that's
wow. got
to be tough. I mean, that really has to be tough in a certain way. In a certain circle, wouldn't it be, you know, tough to live with that, realizing it? And here it is, everyone's talking about you as the second coming right now.
Well, yes, but I don't have an ounce of sympathy for her.
I know.
I mean, you know, the right thing to do is to say, look, I struggled to be vice president. I really didn't do very much, so no one got to see how incompetent I was except for the border. But you know, I shouldn't really be president because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
But there is power, right? And when you have power, man, you know, power can probably overcome all sorts of problems with imposter syndrome, right? Power, access to power.
Well, no, not really, because that can help you continue to think that maybe you do belong here, but she knows that she doesn't. I mean, you know, and the cackle is an example of how awkward she feels. She's just not comfortable in her own skin. She's hoping all, you know what, she reminds me of Anna Nicole's Howard K. Stern. Anna Nicole's boyfriend. Do you remember him?
Yes, I do.
And remember how he always had this strange grin on his face? Mm-hmm. And it was like he couldn't believe that he was with the prom queen. Like, ha, ha, ha. You know, he was kind of chuckling and had this grin. And that's kind of, she reminds me of him. That, you know, with the same imposter syndrome.
I don't really deserve this, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Wow. You know, and yet here it is. We're in a situation where in a sane, serious country, President Biden would have had Amendment 25 done to him quite some time ago. You know that. And you've talked about this. And yet at the same time, the person who would replace him, Kamala Harris, is not particularly competent either. This is a tough one. You know, something else that has not been brought up very much. We can talk about all the problems and all the people surrounding the president that should have been saying something about this all this time. But Kamala Harris is the only person in his circle who is constitutionally required to report on something like that. And she is not.
Yes. Yes. I know. And some people are saying that sort of should disqualify her right away. You know, it's clearly there are things going on behind the scenes in the Democratic Party that, you know, rolling by that that we don't have any awareness or control over. You know, what's interesting, too, is that Obama hasn't endorsed her. And he used to be sort of buddy-buddy with her back in the day. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't endorsed her. And I think that the reason is because he would prefer someone who he could control, like he's been controlling Biden for the last 3 years. And he doesn't feel like he can control her because she's a wild card. So I think he was trying to get Michelle Obama to put her hat in the ring. And it's turning out to be harder than he expected it to be. So far, she's not doing anything.
And yet I have to say, if Michelle Obama were the candidate right now, that would really upend the race. And I'm not saying it's because I think she's, would be a great president. I'm just talking about the popularity of the first lady for better or for worse. I mean, as far as popularity amongst the population, she's very high, you know, really.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, what an interesting time. You know, we are in that Asian curse of living in interesting times, Dr. Lieberman. And are you going to be talking about these issues on this week's podcast? Have you done that yet? Just curious.
My terrorist therapist podcast? I am going to be talking about these things in terms of not so much the body language or his speech necessarily, but how all these changes, you know, relate to terrorism, which the bottom line, I can say that in one sentence, all of these things are making America much more vulnerable to terrorists because we are so discombobulated and so, there's nobody running the store.
Last time we had you on, we were talking about the shooter, the Trump shooter, and additional information has come out since then about the background. It's still rather murky. Is there anything about your evaluation of Crooks that may have changed given the new information coming out? Anything that struck you, or are you pretty much sticking with where we were before?
I'm not sure what specific information you're talking about. I've read about there was some interesting things. You know, there were these headlines, a connection to JFK's assassination.
Yeah, he did a search. Yeah, he did a search for, how far away was he, right?
Yes. I mean, I was thinking it was going to turn out to be like somebody in the FBI or the CIA who were involved, was involved with the Kennedy assassination, instructed him to assassinate Trump. I mean, that was what the headline wanted you to think. But no, I mean, you know, just the things that came out that were interesting were how he was looking up other people, you know, other politicians. Or and also, I don't remember if I mentioned this on your show, but I was talking about Ethan Crumbly, about how I wish that this shooter's parents would get charged just like Ethan Crumbly's parents were charged.
Yeah, you did mention that. You did mention that. Yeah.
And it turned out he was looking up Ethan Crumbly and his case.
Really? I didn't hear that one. All right, so there is some a little. I just have my doubt, though, that we're ever going to get that full story. It's either too embarrassing or too conspiratorial. I don't know how to draw any conclusion on this right now, because it's uncomfortable to think that Secret Service can be that incompetent that many times with so many people, right? And it doesn't that bother you a little bit when you think about this, looking at these groups?
It especially, yeah. Yes, I mean, there has to be some connection. But, I mean, he was possibly not. He could have just been this lone, disturbed person on his own. But he was vulnerable to being co-opted, you know, or hired or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about with the encrypted online game chats that he's doing. And, you know, for all you know, you get conditioned. There's all sorts of ways that people can be conditioned to act on something. Hmm.
Right, right. But, you know, what worries me in regard to their incompetence, and of course the head of it, the head of Secret Service quit, you know, which was a good thing. But of course, now they even have less people leading them. But what I'm concerned about is with Netanyahu in America, this is a very dangerous, even more dangerous time for him. It's going to could be another oops. You know, we weren't staffed enough, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though they have 5,000-6,000 staff, excuse me, in Secret Service. Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH, America's Psychiatrist, TerroristTherapist.com. By the way, I had a bunch of people ask me to give them their address again, so I have a feeling we're going to be getting more hits into that. And any other websites that we should make sure people know how to get a hold of you?
Expert Witness. ForensicPsychiatrist.com.
All right, very good. Thank you so much for the analysis. And boy, you're able to dig more out of that body language than I think I was capable of. Thank you very much. Okay. Take care, doctor.
All right.
Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD. It is a couple minutes before 7:00.